The Phantom of the Opera by Gaston Leroux, read by Christopher Lee. It was the evening on which Messieurs de Bienne and Poligny, the managers of the Paris Opera, were giving a last gala performance to mark their retirement. Suddenly, the dressing room of La Sorelli, one of the principal dancers, was invaded by half a dozen young ladies of the ballet. Sorelli looked round angrily as little Jeanne, the girl with the tip-tilted nose, exclaimed in a trembling voice,
"It's the ghost!"
And she locked the door. Sorelli shuddered when she heard little Jeanne speak of the ghost, called her a silly little fool, and then, as she was the first to believe in ghosts in general, and the opera ghost in particular, at once asked for details.
"Have you seen him?" "As plainly as I see you now," said little Jeanne,
whose legs were giving way beneath her, and she dropped with a moan into a chair. Thereupon little Giry added,
"If that's the ghost, he's very ugly." "Oh, yes," cried the chorus of ballet girls,
and they all began to talk together. The ghost had appeared to them in the shape of a gentleman in dress clothes, who had suddenly stood before them in the passage, without their knowing where he came from. He seemed to have come straight through the wall.
"Pooh," said one of them, who had more or less kept her head, "you see the ghost everywhere."
And it was true. For several months, there had been nothing discussed at the opera but this ghost in dress clothes who stalked about the building from top to bottom like a shadow, who spoke to nobody, to whom nobody dared speak, and who vanished as soon as he was seen. Yet who had seen him? You meet so many men in dress clothes at the opera who are not ghosts. But this dress suit had a peculiarity of its own. It covered a skeleton. At least so the ballet girls said. And it had a death's head. The idea of the skeleton came from the description of the ghost given by Joseph Buguet, the chief scene shifter who had really seen the ghost. He had run up against the ghost on the little staircase by the footlights which leads to the cellars. He had seen him for a second, for the ghost had fled, and to anyone who cared to listen to him he said,
"He is extraordinarily thin, and his dress coat hangs on a skeleton frame. His eyes are so deep that you can hardly see the fixed pupils. You just see two big black holes, as in a dead man's skull. His skin, which is stretched across his bones like a drum head, a nasty yellow. His nose is so little that you can't see it side face. And the absence of that nose is a horrible thing to look at. All the hair he has is three or four long, dark locks on his forehead and behind his ears."
Sensible men said that Joseph Buquet had been the victim of a joke played by one of his assistants. And then there came an incident so curious and so inexplicable that the very shrewdest people began to feel uneasy. A fireman named Pompin, who had gone to make a round of inspection in the cellars, suddenly reappeared on the stage, pale and trembling.